start off with, to put my work into context, the aim of my PhD is to understand how to use haptic force feedback for better user interfaces. So to briefly explain, force feedback is a sensory information cue that tells us the physical properties of objects we wish to interact with, such as its weight, shape, and texture. Also, as seen from observations, as we naturally experience force feedback by using our hands, it greatly influences the way in which we use our body to perform tasks like sort of selection or manipulation tasks. So within virtual environments, we can simulate force feedback by using haptic devices. This is still a novel area of research, and we're yet to establish explicitly how best to use and implement these for better user interfaces. So to explain our motivation, as you can imagine, there's a large potential for using haptics to reinforce hand gestures that are intuitive to use to perform tasks within immersive visual environments better. So, I mean, like, for example, just like selecting or manipulating objects, such as rotations or grabbing objects to sort of pull up and manipulate. Besides using haptics in ways that we're used to, there's also scope for using force feedback in fantastical ways. So for example, trying to track the user's hands to objects, to thus sort of ultimately reducing the sort of physical work needed to select it, or even use it in ways that overcome our own physical limitations, such as rotating objects continuously over 360 degrees that our wrist can't perform. So to go over briefly the previous work, at present, most devices investigate the influence of haptics by using small-scale devices, such as a phantom desktop device. As the workspace of these devices are quite small, there's very little research that looks at full arm-length interaction that is quite common in immersive virtual environments. In terms of the measurements taken, they mainly look at time taken and classical measures, rather than tracking information such as the user's hands whilst performing the task. In general, most studies suggest that haptics can benefit interactions for all types of situations. This is backed up from an information theory point of view, such as Fitts' law, that, for example, that by adding force feedback to your simulations, you increase the information bandwidth to the user. As a result, the user has more data by which to interpret their actions and perform a task better. Also, importantly, haptic feedback is a high frequency cue with a latency much less than the visual input. So, in general, the latency of a visual input is around 30 milliseconds, whereas for haptic feedback, it's less than 1 millisecond. So as a result, when a user tries to sort of grasp an object, you generally feel it before you sort of see it. So naturally, you'd expect, by incorporating force feedback into sort of virtual simulations, you'd expect a performance increase when performing tasks. However, when you have an environment with physical properties, you can expect that in some cases that the user may have to put in more work to complete a task. For example, if the user wants to select a set of multiple targets, you can expect that more work may be needed to complete the task, as the user may need to sort of move their hands around objects or push through targets that provide resistance. Which normally wouldn't happen in environments that are simulated in visual-only cues. So to sort of summarise our hypothesis, we believe that haptic feedback can help, but also hinder user interaction. From observations, as we've been sort of creating our paper, we suggest that the user will change their behaviour in which they move their hands to complete a task depending on the type of force feedback responses in the scene. So, for example, if a user wants to select multiple targets, depending on whether they feel a hard, soft, or no response when they touch the target, their hand gestures whilst sort of selecting these targets will change and ultimately affect the overall performance. So to explain our setup, we integrated two large force feedback devices made by Percro in our four-sided cave at UCL. The haptic arms generate a peak force of 50 newtons and continuous force of 6 newtons. The workspace of these devices is very, very large, 600 by 400 by 600, and they're weight compensated so that you don't feel the mechanics of the device whilst using it. We also tracked the haptic device co-located its interaction to the virtual environment so that we gave it a very, very natural virtual hand technique, quite similar to sort of pointing to objects as you do in sort of real life. We also implemented two types of feedback, one hard and one soft. So when the user sort of using this sort of pointing technique touched a virtual object, if it was hard, then they wouldn't be able to penetrate its surface. Mm-hmm. But equally, it would give no sort of rebound feedback, so you're able to sort of continuously move your finger around the surface, or say for example a sphere or a box, and feel its edges. For a soft feedback, we allow the user to sort of penetrate the surface, but then feel an elastic force pushing it out, so that it'll feel like as if you're pointing at a sponge. Here's a video to sort of briefly explain the sort of devices and its interaction. So the user sort of puts his two fingers into the sort of two little thimbles in the device, and they control two red cursors in the screen. And from those cursors, using the XVR physics engine, they compute sort of suitable reaction forces that are sent to the arms and then mechanically felt to the user. In this example, like you can't see the position of these haptic cursors. In our case, we sort of co-located so that it appears exactly in front of the user's tip of the finger. But in general, like we align the coordinate frames of the haptic interface and the virtual environment to a one-to-one setting. It's also worth pointing out, in this sort of just a simple example, there is a velocity-based sort of travel, so as you move the device left or right, the scene sort of scene moves. Sort of thing. Yeah, I'm not very, very good at this sort of thing, but it's a sort of at the moment, because it isn't in stereo, the task is actually quite difficult. But yeah, you can see how you can sort of quite easily manipulate objects that you wouldn't normally do with a wand or something like that. So to sort of explain our co-location, because we wanted to give a very, very natural virtual hand interaction technique, we used Vicon markers to physically track the haptic interface in the cave and the virtual scene. And from this precise reading, we were able to sort of offset those two haptic cursors to physically be positioned just in front of the finger of the user. This gave a very, very natural sort of pointing technique. And also, like, we didn't implement any sort of travel or extension method. So the method of interaction was very much within the sort of workspace of the interface. So there was nothing novel about this type of interaction, and quite intuitive. So to sort of briefly introduce our experiment, to sort of evaluate how different sort of haptic feedback affects sort of selection task, we sort of create a very, very simple experiment where we ask the users to select a set of one, two, or three sphere targets placed within our arm's reach of the user. So for example, we ask the user in order to select the blue, red, and yellow sphere. And these were randomly placed as the sort of experiment went on. So to briefly go over the conditions that we looked at, for this 3D selection task, we assessed three conditions, a soft, hard, and no feedback condition. We also test three types of selection tasks, the selection of one target, so just selecting a blue sphere, two targets, blue and then red, three targets, so blue, red, and then yellow. And we also tested two types of hand configurations, one where the user just used their right hand only, and then the sort of two-handed interaction. So to sort of briefly sort of visualise the experiment, here the selection tasks randomly appear in space based on a sort of a predefined order. And for every task, the user is asked to sort of select the blue, then red, then the yellow sphere as they appear. And after every completed task, two sort of reset spheres appear in space, so that we're always assessing each level from the same position. Also, we implement a horizon level to sort of reduce similarity sickness, and also to limit the effects of any outside factors. It was important that we narrowed the scope of the task by keeping the shape, size, textures all the same. And also, we created a list of predefined sort of selection levels that all had a good uniform distribution, so that there are no distracting factors. And these were all sort of randomly displayed to the user based on the order that we created. So to briefly go over the rubric of the experiment that we trialled, in total we assessed 45 participants. Each participant only assessed one feedback condition, so in total we had 15 subjects for each condition. Each subject performed the selection tasks using two types of configurations. First using the right hand only, so they would you put their right hand in one of in the right haptic arm, and then select all the spheres in that workspace, and then you use both hands to perform the task. And for each configuration, there were 45 selection tasks to perform. So 15 tasks where they select one target, 15 with two, and 15 with three, and these were displayed in a random order. And between each task. Between each type of hand configuration assessed, there was a 15-minute break to sort of give people some rest. So to summarise the results, I'll go through by discussing each condition separately, and all these conclusions were based on significance variance testing, like ANOVA results and things like that. So for the no feedback condition, on average, subjects perform tasks with significantly higher velocities. So they move their hand very, very quickly between targets. For simple tasks, these results were very, very similar to the best recorded overall. But for hard tasks, for the selection of, say, three targets and moving their hand from the blue, red, and yellow spheres, the time taken and even distances were significantly worse compared to the soft or hard feedback results. So to look at the sort of track data that we collected, this is an example of the subject performing over the sort of three conditions. And for a no feedback condition, it's the red track. So as you can see, as they move and to sort of select the red and blue spheres, quite a lot of work and distance is spent and, on the surface of the object trying to confirm its selection. So this can explain why for more complicated tasks, this sort of sort of results in worse performances over sort of tasks that involve more than sort of two objects. For the softer feedback, generally, this produced results best for time and distance taken, and the velocities produced were very, very similar to the no force feedback condition. But and also, these were significantly faster than the hard feedback. So to sort of again explain its track position, as the user sort of touched and a sphere target, they were able to sort of efficiently move between targets while spending very, very little time confirming its selection. So the path in general was quite optimum, whilst having a very, very small amount of time on the surface of the spheres to confirming its selection. That's why in general for over the whole set of tasks, the time taken and distance travelled, so work done effectively, was a lot less compared to all the feedback conditions. For hard feedback, distance travelled was very, very, very similar to soft feedback conditions, as people naturally spend very, very little time on the surface of the spheres to confirm its selection. But what we found was that people move between targets a lot slower, significantly slower compared to the no feedback and soft feedback condition. So when the task difficulty increased, the time taken was very, very poor. So again, by looking at the track detailed in detail, we can see that the time taken with the hard feedback condition, as represented by the dark blue line, there's a very, very little time spent on the surface of the object. But also, people's behaviours, sort of as you sort of touch the hard object, they tend to move away, and there's some extra work done in terms of when they move between objects, and a less optimum path is taken. As we've seen with the soft feedback condition represented by the green line. So to give an overview of the distance travelled data, we can see that for the feedback conditions, the distance work done in terms of over the three tasks was a lot less for the feedback conditions, which was soft and hard. But with a no feedback condition, this was significantly larger, with a larger sort of range of values. For the time taken in general, for a soft feedback condition over the three selection tasks, this produced good results. If we could compare the hard and no feedback conditions, we can see as the task increases, the time taken between hard and no feedback was quite similar. So to give an overview of the conclusions made, we found that a soft feedback produced best results for simple tasks. Feedback over the whole conditions assessed was quite similar, but for difficult tasks, we found behavioural differences in the way that the users move their hands, especially comparing hard and no feedback responses. So in general, we found that, as we saw with the track data, depending on the different types of feedback condition available within the virtual space, people's strategy when moving the hand was quite difficult. And also, but interestingly, going against the desktop data collected by the soft results, people preferred AM hard feedback condition. So I mean, basically, from this research, it's shown sort of new, interesting sort of hypothesis that we can now further look into. In general, we're sort of showing that there's a trade-off between implementing for physical properties versus actually trying to want to create environments where we want to perform tasks quickly. I think in particular, we want to look at this dwelling time to confirm selection and why so much time and effort is spent on the surface of objects in a no feedback condition in comparison to hard and soft. And also in a hard feedback condition, this sort of arcing movements away from objects and sort of little behavioural things that we didn't quite expect to happen. Questions?
Did you see any difference between dominant and non-dominant hands?
Most of the people tested were all right-handed. We didn't really test left-handed.
But they were using both hands,
yeah,
right?
They're using both hands.
So you do have the data to check how they did with each hand.
Yeah. I think that was slightly beyond the scope of this paper, but yeah, we had the data to check that. Yeah, I mean, in general, both hands were better than one.
The force and touch to pick up an egg versus the force and touch required to pick up a heavy rock column is quite different. You have a crush factor. Did you have any tolerance on the amount of pressure applied to the object?
For a hard feedback condition, the definition was that we didn't penetrate the surface of the sphere. You could feel around it, so there was no sort of active rebound or anything like that.
So you had no tolerance range plus minus pressure measurement?
The haptic arms will sort of break in terms of when you apply more than 50 newtons onto the object.
Okay.
But it's still quite a large force. And because it's just a selection task, it's very, very rare for people to sort of use that level of force to break that environment.
Okay, thank you.